The one I'm listening to this week, this is my new favorite one. What I'm going to talk about today, and I'm really blessed to be here with y'all, is the testimonies of God's faithfulness. And the word faithfulness is a really interesting word. It's the Hebrew word emunah, and it's spelled E-M-U-N-A-H, and it's from a verb, aman, A-M-A-N. And every one of the Hebrew and Aramaic words has an action behind it. And so when you know what the action is underneath the verb, then you know what the noun is that's built on that verb. So we get faithfulness from to have faith or to be faithful. And the action is to lean on. That's why I wanted to play Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. So the leaning on is where there's something that's stronger than you are, right? If you lean on a wall, you know, it's stronger than you. You expect that it's going to hold you up, right? Well, leaning on the everlasting arms, there's a line in that song that's about, you know, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Why? Because what we lean on and God's faithfulness is much, much stronger than anything we have in our own lives. And that's the lesson, that's the whole lesson of God's faithfulness, is that he is God and we are not. And so I want to turn to Psalm 100. That's another song that we sing often. About make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Right? But there's a verse in here that is really wonderful. It's verse 5. It's the last song, the last verse when we sing it as a song, right? For the Lord is good, and I'm reading out of the ESV, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is good. His faithfulness is to all generations. When we sing it, we always say truth, right? Well, truth actually has a number of different Hebrew words. And if there is times where emunah is translated as truth, but it really means faithfulness. Remember when I was teaching about the armor of God and you have the belt of truth, right? But that truth is actually God's faithfulness to his word. And that's the same idea. It's what you lean on, what you trust in, what's the source of your strength. What ties it all together in the armor in Christ in us is the fact that God is faithful to everything that he has provided for us in Christ. Some definitions of emunah are firmness or stability or also steadfastness. Something that's steadfast is, it's like, okay, we got it, right? Again, it's something you can trust in, something you can lean on. And I love this part about his faithfulness is to all generations. And as many of you know, I had a new granddaughter born this past week. And when I first was holding her, I don't know how to describe it actually, but there was just this overwhelming flood of thankfulness that came up in my heart for there to be another generation of wonderful, beautiful people who will love God and speak his word and go forward. And when I look back and I see my mom out here, you know, we have in our family so many generations of believers. And it's when you think about how from the beginning of time, God called families and he orchestrated it out to the very, very specific point where you were born. And he knew before the foundation of the world that you would believe and trust him. And so he had to, you know, this person married this one and this one had this child and this was a girl and this was not a boy and this was, you know, and it went on and on and on, right? And so the generations are where God has shown his faithfulness to and will continue to also. We were counting up how many grandchildren and great grandchildren my mom has now. And so she has 12 grandchildren and already 11 great great grandchildren. So, you know, to get to that point where imagine what God feels like when he's looking out over all the generations and seeing how people have responded to him over the years. So, okay, so why can we actually lean on him? There's three things I'm going to talk about today, just briefly, that are testimonies of why we should trust God. And a testimony is something that's a proof or an evidence. They're like in a court of law, right? If someone stands, it's called to be a witness. They stand up and they say, I testify that this and this and this and this happened, right? It's a testimony. When my boss, who does expert witness testimony for construction defect cases, he does all the research and he shows all the things that are wrong with a property, and then they call him to the stand and he testifies that this happened, this is what's wrong, this is what's going on. And because he's an expert in that field, his testimony is received. So there's lots of different kinds of testimonies, but the ones that we want to know about are the ones that are reliable. All right, the first thing that's reliable, you can turn over to Psalm 119. And just, I wanted to show this to you real quick here. I've been looking at Psalm 119 this week, and it's an amazing psalm. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, and it also has so many things about God's word, which we're going to look at it in a little while here. But just look at verse 138. It says, you have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. So God's testimonies are the ones we want to look at, right? Because he is faithful, but he's given us testimonies so that we can know that he's faithful. The first one, then go back to verse 89, and we'll read that. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. So the first one I want to talk about is that God made the heavens and the earth to be a testimony of his faithfulness. When he established the heavens and the earth, way back in Genesis 1, right, it's still standing. It stands every day. The sun comes up. Do you not trust that the sun's going to come up tomorrow? You know, if all of a sudden things change and, you know, Christ comes back, there's going to be a little bit of changes. But basically, if Christ doesn't come back and things are put together differently, tomorrow the sun's going to come up. And we rely on that. We set our clocks by it. We plan to go to work in the morning. I mean, we just know in our hearts that this is something that is repetitive. And God set up his creation to be a witness, a testimony of his faithfulness. That if he said the sun's going to come up, it will. If he said he gave the sun to be the light by day and the moon by night. He gave us the night so that there would be a respite from the sun. Like, we need this time of the year, right? When you see all those pictures and look at the rainbow, there's so many things in creation that God testifies of his goodness. If you just look at the flowers, you look at the beautiful ocean, you look at the trees and how they bloom with these gorgeous, gorgeous fruit. And I've been picking peaches off my tree in my yard this past couple weeks and just marveling at how you get this fruit off of this tree. You know, I mean, it's one thing to go to the grocery store and go buy some fruit, but it's another thing to go pick it, right? There's just a confirmation to us, which we don't even realize, or think about very often, every day there's confirmations to us that the way God set up the heavens and the earth is reliable. Remember, there's a verse in Psalm 19, we're not going to read it, but about the heavens declare the glory of God, right? And the earth is his handiwork. It's his handiwork. So when we look at the earth and we look at the heavens, we are, it's confirming, it's a proof in our hearts that just like God is faithful to his creation to maintain the seasons year after year after year, he will maintain all of the things that he has promised in his word to us. You can hold your, you can go over to Psalm 97. We're going to be reading a bunch of Psalms today. Psalm 97 and verse 6. I like this one. It says, the heavens proclaim his righteousness and all the people see his glory. When we look, like say you go down to Sunset Cliffs and you look out over the ocean, it proclaims God's righteousness. Wow. So God set up the earth with his creativity as a proof that he was unchangeably faithful. So that's the first one. And if you ever need to be reminded that God is going to do something and answer your prayers, then go out in nature and sit there and think about how he made the heavens and the earth. And if he has the ability to create all of this that's so amazing, then he has the power and the provision for anything that we need in our lives. You see how it's a testimony? Okay, so the second thing is, if God is faithful, then his word is faithful. And in Psalm 119, the reason I was getting so excited about Psalm 119 is that there's actually 8 different words for word in this psalm. And we obviously can't look at all of them, but there was one that stuck out to me particularly. It's the word that really means speech. And some of the verses that we we're familiar with actually have this word speech in it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That word is, that's from Psalm 119:11. And that word means speech, like what God says. So it's a little bit different than just a written word or word. One of the words is testimonies. Commandments is another one. There's 8 different ones that you can look up. But I want you to look at just a couple of things that use this word for speech. So go over to Psalm 18. Because when God says a promise, it's like he spoke it to us directly. And that's how we have to look at it. Just like Jeannie was sharing a little bit earlier, it's a promise that's been fulfilled already in Christ, like when it says, by his stripes you were healed. But that had to be spoken at one time. And when you speak it to yourself, then it's like you are confirming it again. It becomes a testimony to you. Well, if God said this, then it's going to be true and it will come to pass. So Psalm 18, I just want to read the inscription at the beginning of what this psalm is all about. It says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he wrote this whole psalm. It's also in 2 Samuel 22. But he wrote this psalm after he was rescued from all his enemies. That took about 8 years, a little bit more than 8 years. 8 years. He was in the wilderness. Saul was chasing him. They had times where his wife and children got captured and sent up to who knows where. And so that was not a short time. It wasn't like I prayed and then I got the answer right away. Now, lots of times that happens, but sometimes it doesn't. But he, David, is using this psalm as an example of if you trust God and stay faithful to what he says, because he had anointed David to be king, right? So look at verse 30. This is an example of how God is faithful to his word. Psalm 18, verse 30. Here we go. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. God had promised David and anointed him to be king, but it took a long time for that to come to pass. And in the process of it, he went through a bunch of trials. So there's no guarantees in our lives that we won't have trials, right? Anybody testify to that? Okay, right. But when God says something, it absolutely will come to pass. And when it says here that his word is tried, verse 30, the word of the Lord proves true. The King James says tried, right? That means to be smelted or refined. And there's another verse, Psalm 12, that talks about the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. What that verse is talking about is that God took our earthly words and he smelted them. He refined them in a furnace. And he purifies them. So they're words of the earth, but they're purified. So when God has words that he speaks, they're pure words. They don't have junk in them. You know, they're pure silver. And that's how come they can be proven to be true. Because if God, who's perfect, right? He's without blame. He's completely 100% holy. If he speaks something, then those words, even though they're earthly words that we can understand, like in the manifestations, he said, I'm going to speak to you so you will understand it. He takes our words and turns them around so that we can understand them. But he like purifies them so that they're totally reliable. Not everybody's human words are reliable. Like if somebody says something, you know, and they promises they're going to do something that, you know, you kind of sit back and wonder, well, I'll see whether that comes true or not here. Right? But when God speaks, his words are tried. They prove true. And that's also like an example of in healings and why when someone says, this is what happened to me and I got healed, that's how come that healing is a testimony. It's a proof of God's words. He said, by his stripes, you were healed in Christ. So when someone says, I got healed, look at what happened. They are testifying that God's spoken words to them came to pass and are then thus reliable. It's like the guy who's testifying in court. If you believe that he's a reliable witness, then you accept what he's saying, right? And say, oh, well, then that must be so. And the jury will get together and go, okay, well, everybody agrees. Yes, it's true. No, it's not. Well, so they're in the court of law, they're determining whether something is true or not. Because we have so much of this word already written out that we can rely on, all we have to do is speak it and go, this is what God said. And therefore, it is true. And therefore, you can have it as a belt around your waist and you can stand on it and you can lean on it. See? God is faithful, but then we can lean on that. Lean on me, you know, right? I mean, we lean on each other lots of times, right? What about God? We lean on him. Yeah, see? Okay, so are you still in Psalm 119? Or you can go back there. There's one more verse I wanted to share with you there. It says, your promise is well tried, or that same word is smelted. Your word, your promise is refined. It's smelted. It's pure. Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. I love it because the word gets proven over and over and over and over. And we can rely upon it, and we can base our lives on it. We can base our decisions on it. We can make it the source of our strength in every situation, because when God speaks, he backs it up with all that he is. So again, see, if he's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he's all powerful and all knowing, then that's what backs up everything that he says. And we can base our lives on that. The third thing that I think that's a testimony is his covenant and his promises. So I want you to go to Psalm 89. The beginning of this psalm talks again about the faithfulness to all generations. So we'll just read 1 and 2. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. So God, again, he established his faithfulness in the heavens so we can see it every day. But now go on here and read verse 3. It says, you have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and hold your throne for all generations. Selah. God made a covenant with David, just like he made with Noah, like he made with Abraham, and then also the new covenant in the future with Israel. He told David that there would always be a man to rule on the throne. And eventually that ended up being Christ, right? And Christ is going to reign forever and ever and ever. So this covenant that God made with David, just like I was saying before, it took a while for it to even come to pass where he was an earthly king. It also is taking quite a long number of years for it to come to pass where Jesus will be reigning as a king again in the kingdom that's to come. God sees time so much bigger than we do. He sees this overall picture of time. And in his view, it has already come to pass. So that's what we have to grab onto when we read, talk about the word covenant or his promises. His promise is true. It's absolute. It's already a done deal. He promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and he would have the land of Israel that would be his forever. Has that come to pass completely yet? No. But in Galatians, it reminds us that because God made that promise to Abraham, it's still going to be fulfilled, and we are part of being heirs of the promise with Abraham. So we get to be in this, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you see all of God's great, wonderful things that he has said. But we always have to remember that it's fulfilled in Christ, and it's still going to be fulfilled. God's view of it is huge. It encompasses so many things from the very, very beginning all the way till the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, go down to verse 8. You can read this whole psalm. It's just beautiful. But it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. His faithfulness is all around. And so you see, the heavens are declaring that he's faithful. His word declares that he's faithful. And then he made covenants and promises in his word that he stands faithful to. And it's like they surround us. They're all around us. We can't get away from them. Christ is coming back. There is going to be a new heaven and earth. There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness. Those promises and that hope, it is a hope, but it's also something that we can grab onto. And faithfulness and knowing God is faithful gives us strength to continue on every single day. And it also is the reason why we can count on our prayers being answered. When God says you can do something, like, okay, let's just say, okay, I'll use myself as an example. I've been working on a new book about the word pictures, and it's been a number of years for this to come to fruition, right? And I finally turned it into the publisher last week. But, and so it's very exciting to see it come to that kind of fruition. But I see God answer that, what he worked in me to do over a long period of time. It was like his faithfulness was surrounding me. And he answered my prayers piece by piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. And when you look back on it, then you can see, oh, he was so faithful. He was so loving, so kind. It's humbling, you know, where you see that the way he works with us is also faithful. He never gives up on us, even if we're like walking around going down, you know, Road Z over here. He said, come on, come on, come on back. I'll show you the way to go. So we got to turn to Lamentations. This is a Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations 3. This is written by Jeremiah, Lamentations is, and it's after they went into captivity and they're on their way to Babylon, and people are weeping and crying, and it's a Lamentations means sorrow, right? So it's all about the sorrow of how they have been captured. But you get to chapter 3 and down in verse 21, it says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's where we get that song, this song, great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning in thee. He always has new mercies every morning. His compassions never fail. He always is there to lift us up, to undergird us, to answer our prayers. But go on and keep reading a little bit. This kind of tells us what our response should be. It's verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Wow, God is my faithful, faithful Father. Therefore, I can have trust in him. And I will hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to all those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And that word wait there is to wait quietly. To get your soul to just calm down and go, yes, I will wait quietly for him because he is faithful. I will put my trust in him, my hope in him. Because his mercies are new every morning. And they surround us. And the testimony of the heavens is always there. And his word confirms it to us over and over and over and over again, right? So what do we have to fear? Nothing, right? So this is our response that we need to have. Lean on him. Lean on the everlasting arms. And also turn to Psalm 40. When I saw this, I said, yeah, this is really like what we need to shout about. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not your compassions. They fail not. So Psalm 40 in verse 9. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I haven't shut up today. I haven't said, no, I don't really know what to say. But I wanted to like shout, great is thy faithfulness. I have told the glad news. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. So this is our job in the assembly, like when we're assembled, to speak about God's faithfulness, that he step by step answers our prayers. His promises are completely reliable. We can trust them. We can spend our life knowing that he backs them up with everything that he is. So great is his faithfulness. So you have three testimonies. What? The heavens and the earth, his word, and his covenants and promises. So God bless you.